Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
We're going to go live to Dove Valley in just a second. If you want to become part of our conversation, you can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. You can get tagged into the convo. We got Thursday night football tonight.
Oh, that's right. This might be the worst of the primetime games so far.
I think
I have
you're
no
right.
interest.
I think you're right.
And watching what? The Panthers versus the Texans.
Well, I disagree with you. I'm not going to tell you how to feel if you're not interested at all. But there.
Well, apparently you are.
I am because of two things. One, I'm kind of curious about this Panthers team.
That's true. That's true.
They pounded New Orleans last week. Pounded them, Stoke.
Seal clubbed them.
26-7. This is on the heels of beating the New York Jets. The week before, I don't know when the last time the Panthers were 2-0, staring at 3-0. They're over a touchdown favorite. But Matt Rhule there in his second year, Joe Brady there in his second year, Sam Darnold. Could it be, a revival in his career? He's off to a pretty good start, averaging nearly 300 yards per game. Got three touchdowns in two games, just one pick. Kind of curious. I'm also fascinated by the human being that is Christian McCaffrey. Can't wait to see Christian tonight, and also the running back on the other side, Philip Lindsay, who has found the end zone in consecutive weeks.
Yeah, just not really enough to make me probably sit in front of the TV tonight, unless I got nothing else going on. You feel me? Like
you got your uniform on?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to go down. I got my uniform on, but it. Plans have changed, so we'll see. But, if I'm at home with really, I'll put the game on, certainly. But I'm not going out of my way tonight to watch this one.
Okay.
And, what are you going to learn from Carolina versus the Texans?
Winning games in the NFL's tough.
But if they win, it's just like, okay, well, they should have won. I mean, if Tyrod Taylor was playing, I would be a lot more intrigued here because I think it would be a good game. Unless they put Jeff Driscoll in, I don't think the Texans have a chance.
I'll tell you what. You know what? The Texans are the NFL's version of the Colorado Rockies.
I like that.
Everyone just assumes they're going to be so bad. Are Rockies going to lose 100 games? Are the Texans going to win a game? I'll tell you what. If Tyrod Taylor doesn't get hurt last week, they might have beat that Cleveland Browns team.
You're right.
You got a bunch of pros with chips on their shoulder in the locker room, bunch of no names, bunch of lunch pail guys.
Yep.
And,
And Tyrod Taylor's a competent quarterback.
He is.
And I think people forgot that, myself included.
And he's a good lead. He's like Teddy Bridgewater light.
Yeah. You're right.
Just a pro. So I'll be locked into it. You don't know if you're playing or not, but your uniform's on.
Zach,
it's like your days in the NFL.
When you count on people that are real, not accountable and, sometimes plans change, right? And, there you go.
Let's go live.
Do you feel me?
Yeah. I feel you. You're putting the blame on someone else.
Yeah.
Sounds
like. It's not on me.
I can fill a spot.
No, you can't.
Let's go live to the podium.
Of course.
Let's eavesdrop. Let's eavesdrop on Pat Shurmur.
Fan base, they know how to let us hear a pin drop when we're on offense, but then crank it up when they're on defense, and that's really the challenge when you go on the road. Fortunately, we've been on the road the last couple of weeks with some crowd noise for the first time in a year, and our guys handled it pretty well. And so I'm looking forward to our fans putting a little pressure on them. I think that's That's going to be an exciting time for us.
Yeah, you said you reminded us that he was sacked 7 times when he was here and you were with him there in Minnesota, if my math is right.
Yeah.
Did that, the crowd noise factor into that, you think? A little bit?
Well, he remembered it. I probably tried to forget it. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, I that always plays into it, you know, and quality of the players you're playing against and all that goes into it, you know, whether you're behind, you're throwing the ball more than the law allows and all that business. But I'm looking forward to it. It's fun. It's more enjoyable in my mind when you get the full experience, especially, you know, I really believe that our game is about our players. Our game is about their families and about our fans. And so for the fans to be back and get the full experience, that's a key component to our business.
Pat, statistically, Teddy's been almost perfect against the blitz so far this year. What have you seen from him that's allowed him to have kind of success when the defenses are bringing extra rushers?
Same thing you have. You know, I think Teddy's got poise. I think we work a lot during the week about what pressures we're going to see. I think our guys up front have done a nice job of blocking the pressure. So there's confidence that comes with that. And each week it's different. You know, today is a big third down day for us. And, you know, the Jets present a lot of different pressures that are unique to them that we got to get honed in on. And but I think Teddy's presence, his ability to make a play when it's not perfect, and then he's getting a better feel each week for the guys he's thrown to.
You had a ton of third and longs last week. What's missing on first down to get some better situations?
Well, I don't know. I think the third down thing is, you know, every week you can cherry pick something, and certainly we need to do better of not having third and longs. But I do know this, you know, whether it's third or fourth down, the goal is to stay on the field. And we had 2 fourth downs we converted, and then we had another third down that the people with the pencil don't count, where they had a penalty that kept us on the field. Fortunately, we had, I think, 22 or 23 first downs in total. So let's get first downs on second down and not worry about it.
One of those third down conversions was the Javonte run that Teddy said he checked into.
Sure.
What did Teddy see on that to make that kind of decision?
It's just part of our third down plan. You know, there's certain looks that we see from a defense where we're either going to audible to a different pass, a different protection, or in some cases a run, and that was it.
Teddy's done a pretty good job of avoiding hits so far, it seems like. How would you evaluate kind of his decision-making in terms of when to stay in there and be willing to take that hit or scramble versus avoiding the unnecessary ones?
Yeah, I think it's all, you know, quarterbacks, you know, it's timing, decision-making, and accuracy. And he has a good clock in his head as to when the time is getting short and he has the ability to get the ball off. He made some really good throws just before a defender got there. He's able to elude in the pocket. You know, for a guy that probably doesn't have a blazing 40 speed, he is elusive. And I think that's a gift. And I think we're all starting to see it.
He didn't connect on his two long passes. It might have been interference. Was there conversation between you and him, like, hey, we're going back to this, we're going to stay with it, or how'd that conversation go?
To some degree. I mean, I believe in being aggressive for the right reasons. I mean, they're just not random throws down the field. They're not 60-yard checkdowns. You know, I think we're strategic with the shots that we take, and then we hit one later in the game that helped open things up. And then later on, too, you know, part of it, you know, we're talking about third downs and staying on the field. You know, we had a long, you know, down the middle of the field, we threw one where it was pass interference, you know, where Teddy did the right thing and let the ball go. So you gotta be careful on some of that. You know, we certainly want to improve all areas of our team. But when you're getting first downs, you almost had 40 minutes in time of possession. I'm going to get pencil whipped on the red zone, but we were taking a knee at the end. So, you know, I think all that plays into it. Our decision there was not to get 26 or 30 points. It was to end the game with the ball. You know, so there's all that goes into it. When I look at it from an offensive standpoint, we haven't had many penalties. We've only had the one turnover. We've been able to possess the ball. And fortunately, in the first two games, we've scored enough points to win. And I think that's what you're looking for.
Okay, that was Pat Shurmur.
Yeah, got to cut that off.
He's done a good job through two games,
yeah.
But our main goal when we come on the air here is try to, and sometimes we fall short of the goal, but to be entertaining and engaging.
I don't think we've ever fallen short. Yeah.
Pat Shurmur is.
I don't remember one day where we have fallen. Pat Shurmur, we just can't do it.
It's paint drying. It's paint drying.
I don't know how you can operate like that. I just, you know, like bring a little bit of energy. But whatever. Just keep, hey, offense keeps rolling. You can be boring. When the offense stinks, don't be boring also.
Right.
We'll put up with it. But yes, I mean, just Pat's just Pat. You know, he just, there's nothing there. Nothing. It's just like vanilla ice cream. Just plain. You gotta give me something. Some sprinkles. Sprinkles.
Something.
I mean, come on, Pat.
But if you remember back, and I know you remember this, to 2 years ago when Paul Schwartz of the New York Post gave us the, now infamous no try again, we had him on because Pat Shurmur got hired. And we were inquiring on who is Pat Shurmur. And the first thing that he said was, if you're looking for a guy that is going to bring some life and can command a room, like, look elsewhere.
And that's just weird that he's been a head coach twice. Like, usually, you know, when you're looking for someone to lead your franchise and your organization, somebody that just talks, you know, and just, like, has no energy and, like, passion.
Even when he's, like, trying to, like make a quasi-joke.
Right.
He's like, yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he got sacked, you know, X amount of time. You know, I'm sure he remembers it, but I know, I tried to forget about that. It's like, all right.
Bad delivery, Pat.
Hey.
I'm sure they'll pencil whip me here.
They're going to pencil whip me in the red zone.
All righty then.
You ever heard that phrase? They're going to pencil whip me?
I mean, pencil whip, I mean, I've heard it like in, like golf? Is that kind of like, you know, when you get pencil whipped, you get beat by the pencil. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like you get screwed.
Okay.
And I think he's talking about because they took the kneel downs that, you know, their percentage in the red zone because of that won't be what it should be.
Right.
You get pencil whipped.
Oh,
in golf, you get pencil. Oh, really? I don't know how to explain it, but it's kind of like you getting screwed by a guy that's just kind of, I don't know, whatever. There you go.
All right. I didn't realize the time of possession from this past week. I didn't quite realize how dramatic it was. The Denver Broncos held the football. How long is a football game in regulation?
60.
60 minutes, okay. The Broncos held the ball for 39 minutes. That is hard to do. That is, but it speaks to what we talked about earlier in the show with the drives that the Broncos offense has put together.
Plus the kickoff return. Yeah, you can't forget that. All of a sudden you had the ball, you kick off, boom, kickoff return, right? They don't spend any time on the football field.
Good point.
Great point.
Good point. Ed Donatell at the podium.
Come on, Ed.
Some of them happen midstream in games. So you can see his coach, Reggie Herring's done a great job having these guys prepared. He went in and played well. Now you got a week of practice. He's been in our program now a year and a little bit. So we have full confidence in him. You go to the outside linebacker position, you know, with Chubb missing time, you know, John Pagano's had those guys ready. It also speaks to our personnel department. This is a deep roster, you know, and guys are ready to go. But we really think our assistant coaches are doing a good job getting these guys ready.
What was your evaluation of Pat Surtain's first start?
You know, I really don't look at it as first start or anything. I look at everything he's done since he came in our building, you know. And, you know, you look at our personnel department. They had him pegged as a guy they wanted right from the beginning. George had him pegged. And, you know, we knew he had skills. And, we knew he had the speed and quickness. And he's a processor. But his makeup is off the charts. You know, this is a guy that's going to prepare every week, week in and week out. He's going to learn from every experience. He's a great teammate. You know, this guy has leadership qualities, can help this team for a long time.
Mr. Nad, what have you seen from him in the run game that gives you confidence he'll be ready in that area particularly?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. You know, and really in today's day and age, you need speed and explosion at the linebacker position. He runs really well. He's a student of the game. You know, there's no question we got to be on our game as young players, and we'll never relax. But he's up to this task.
How much of a luxury is it to have a guy like Malik Reed who's filled this role before when a guy goes out like Chuck?
Yeah, you know, Malik's had a lot of starts here, you know, and again, you know, he was ready to go, but then we also have two young players behind him, Jonathan Cooper and Mintz, and they will continue to develop, and we'll look at it as a positive till we get them back to develop more depth.
What did you like from what you saw from Caden Stearns in
the passing? You know, we just gave him a small role in the game. He played some dime last week. You know, this is a guy that's come in here and really caught our eye as a safety as well. But he's a very instinctual player. He learns well. And the other players are comfortable with him, communicating with short time spans, you know, in the heat of the battle.
But with Alexander calling the defense now, will you have more interaction with him than maybe you would with Joe or Todd Davis or some other linebackers you've had in the past?
Not really. Not really. You know, Reggie and Vic kind of handle that. There'll be no change.
Sal was talking about how much he likes Vic.
Yeah.
He was joking in the first few times they met that Vic didn't say much. I'm just curious, young coaches ever come to you to decode Vic?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it takes time, you know, because he's not an extremely outgoing guy and so forth. And he's got to size you up, and you got to produce around him to get his respect, you know. But you won't find a guy that's more direct and honest, and that's a really good situation to work under.
This is Broncos defensive coordinator Ed Donatell at the podium.
Did they ever want you to figure it out?
No, not really. Next question.
Four picks last week. How do you, you know, make hay again this week with our secondary?
Well, you know, we do know these young players, you know, are talented. We've seen two of them in the last 2 weeks, and they're going to be really good players in this league. But that guy's going to learn and grow, and they get better every week. And we're going to have to work really hard. You know, this team is a complete team. They have an excellent running game. They're well coached. Great run design. So, you know, we have to be on our A game. You know, it's going to be just really great to be back home. You know, I know our fans are itching. You know, it's been over a year since they've got to come and be, you know, in our stadium with us. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Is that going to be a big advantage, you think, just to get the crowd back and back at home?
It always is. You know, that's part of Denver Broncos and living in this state. And it needs to be an advantage, and it always has been. And we just want to give them some good ball so they have something to cheer about.
Thanks.
All right, there's Ed Donatell. Like Ed Donatell. Eddie the Don. Does a good job there, Vic's right-hand man. He was asked about something that Robert Saleh put out there that I saw through Nick Kosmider from The Athletic. And it was Saleh said, the first time I went out to dinner, because he was quality control coach for Vic Fangio's defense in San Francisco. And he said, the first time I went out to dinner with him, shoot, I think he maybe said two words to me. I'm thinking, God, this guy's having a terrible time. Then he got up and said, hey, man, that was fun. We've got to do it again sometimes. He really is one of the most genuine people I've ever been around. And Ed was asked about it just now, and he said Vic's one of those guys that you got to produce around him to earn his respect. He's going to size you up. Not the most outgoing guy.
We've seen his personality, and he is funny. He's engaging. But he also, I mean, he can come across as like a grumpy old man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doesn't bother me at all. I mean, that's just kind of how he's wired, and but he's got that personality to him. I mean, he's got a few jokes that he throws in there. He goes back and forth with the reporters, so I like his style. But you could tell, like you just going out to dinner with him, he's probably not going to be the most engaging guy if he doesn't really know you,
right? Probably not holding court. Vic's probably not holding court.
Maybe after a bottle of vino.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
I bet he starts holding court. Give him some meatballs. All the meatballs.
All the meatballs and all the pasta. Okay. Anything stick out to you in particular from
no
Ed or Patton? Okay.
No.
Okay.
Zero.
We should hear from Teddy Bridgewater here momentarily.
We got Teddy B again? Love it.
Okay. We'll eavesdrop when the time is right.
When are we going to get Tom McMahon?
He speaks tomorrow.
It's
got to
be today. Why not today?
I don't know why they do it like this. But under this regime, it's the two coordinators on Thursday, Tom McMahon on Friday.
Okay. Well, we definitely got to hear some of that tomorrow. You know, they're going to be asking about the kickoff return.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes,
and,
yes, yes.
And maybe gives us a couple good little sound bites.
Could Tom McMahon be an in-season fire?
No.
Sure.
Look, if it's 2017 all over again, is that what year it was?
Yep.
We got to do what's best for Isaiah.
Worst special teams unit I have ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, if it's that bad, then yeah, I guess. If it starts, like, you know, snowballing here. But I think Vic brought him back this year because he felt like Tom McMahon was a good coach. And that maybe they needed to upgrade the backside of the roster more, right? So now they've done that, and they all think they have, but I just don't think it gets that bad. I don't think it gets that bad. So could it happen? Sure, but I put it at 5% chance.
Oh, okay. I think you need to add a number to the left of that. I mean,
what number would you put it at?
A 25%.
25. Okay.
I mean, you got to think, you know, this is how we're starting here. Kicks to the house, you know, penalties on punts, and, you know, it's just, I mean, we're two football games in here. We've already seen a kick to the house. Broncos have had the most of those since the start of the 2018 season. One or two more, though, like the excuses for Tom McMahon are zilch now. And I understand what you're saying. He brought him back because maybe some of that stuff was fair. But it might get to a point like, hey, like, Tom, I believed in you, and we tried to help you out, but the problems remain here. And
Shorty got to go.
Shorty got to go.
Yeah. I mean, look.
It's not crazy.
You make a lot of good points. Got me thinking. I mean, if it starts costing them games, you know, and from special teams perspective, and every, you know, offense is playing well enough, defense is playing well enough, and special teams cost them games, then, you know, you might be right. It might be 25%. I'm hoping it doesn't get there. Hopefully it doesn't get there. But what we've seen around here over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, I guess maybe I'm being too optimistic that it won't go there.
Yeah, maybe so. But just last week, we had an unsportsmanlike conduct in the second quarter.
But wait, I want to get to that real quick again. Like, you know, should we hold Tom McMahon responsible for that? Or should we hold Vic responsible? I told you, like, at some point, Vic has got to step up and say, hey, buddy, you know, what number, Ford or something? Like,
yeah.
You 15, are not playing.
Yeah.
You're not playing.
Yep.
We're not accepting that. You know, you go above Tom and say, that nonsense isn't going to happen.
In addition to the unsportsmanlike conduct, there was a false start on a punt in the third quarter. And then Agnew took one to the house. Bad, bad day.
Yeah.
Bad day for Tom McMahon last week.
Not a good day for sure.
No. All right. We will continue to track it until it becomes a non-issue. But I have a feeling it will rear its ugly head at another point here sometime soon.
Pencil whipping is cheating on a score. If I'm the scorekeeper in a game of dominoes and you call 15 and I don't add your 15 points, it's pencil whipping.
Yes. All right.
Kind of what I said.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't articulate it that well. Thank you for that.
That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Did I put their name on it?
No. Just 720.
Yeah, you got to put your name on it. Give a shout
Appreciate
out.
Appreciate you.
All right. Vic Fangio. We'll hear from the head football coach coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Truth. And I'm going to show you Zachary
I don't believe you.
Stuff. I know you don't. Perfect. I can't wait to show you.
I never seen you more excited for a $30 bet then.
I mean, Zach's trying to call me out on something, and I said, well, yeah, it's probably not. I'm probably going to be on the wrong side. I said, good thing it was I just put 30 on. It was it. And you're like, and you think that I'm lying. You think that I'm lying.
I'm like D-Mac.
Right, yeah, he called me a liar.
With no track record for lying.
I'm not going to get all sensitive like you, but, you know, I'll just prove to you that I am telling the truth. So I'm going to show you next break that I'm telling the truth.
Oh, my goodness.
Can't wait to do it.
We were just talking about some seasoned over-unders that we placed before the season started, and the Broncos are an interesting one, man. The Broncos have a path that is grooved for 10-7. It's just the way it is. And I can hardly believe it. Doubling your win total year over year is really hard to do. The Broncos have an opportunity to do that.
It is. Like you said, it's grooved for them to be able to do that. I mean, it's right there. A lot of things come into play here. Injuries, all these things can kind of derail that. But man, if they can do what they're supposed to do, they should at least get to 10 wins.
They're 2-0 and haven't played at home yet.
That's right.
Pretty good.
They got nine more at home. Is that nine left?
Nine more. They got the extra one.
Right.
Here's Vic Fangio at the podium.
Any changes to the injury report today?
No. Mike Purcell is going to practice today on a limited basis. Cortland will be full. Tim will be limited. Noah will be limited. And everybody else is full.
What did Glasgow be able to do yesterday?
He was fine. He did good.
Trending towards Sunday?
Yeah.
Aaron Patrick picking him up, edge rusher. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's something that George has been working on for the last day or so, and he was able to get that done. He just got here about an hour ago, so it's in the early stages.
There was a lot of talk this offseason about Lloyd and getting more physical and put on some weight, muscle weight. Have you seen that through 2 games?
Yeah, I've seen it through camp. He not only has done that, he's gotten better at playing his position from being more comfortable, more knowledgeable, which allowed him to play more physical and play stronger. Couple that with the work he put in the offseason. So it's a mental experience thing, too, along with the physical part.
Mitchell's going to be rocking on Sunday at the stadium.
How do you expect the team to kind of channel that energy into a good game? Well, use it to our advantage. It should be a home field advantage for us. And, you know, besides the altitude, now we got the fans going for us. Just give him a lot of work and see if he gets it done the right way. And he did. Robert came in right up, you know, near the start of camp. And did a good job for us. We were only together 1 year there, but he obviously had great work ethic, did good work. There's a lot of people with great work ethic, but the work's not very good. He was able to do both, and he was smart. You could tell he had a good future in coaching.
He said he connected with you because you're authentic, but he said the first time he had dinner with you, he wasn't sure you said more than a couple words. He didn't know where he stood with you. You remember that?
No. I doubt I had dinner. If I had dinner with him, it would have been in the team cafeteria, because if I had dinner with a young coach, that means I would have had to pay, and I don't want to do that.
Has that changed a little bit? Have you gotten, as a head coach, are you a little more inclined to invite a young coach and not Mike Payne?
Vic, how do you?
Yeah.
with the penalties you mentioned after the game on Sunday,
did you
show all those to the team as?
Yeah, a good bit of them. Yeah, we stress it. I mean, trust me. If anything, I stress it too much. And you know, I showed the whole team early on in the season, early on in camp, where we ranked in penalties last year, and we're ranked to the good. High on defense and kind of in the middle to or worse, they're on offense, and now it's flipped. Our offense has done a great job. They've hardly been penalized at all, and we've had a rough couple outings here defensively.
You
you have an issue with any of them or turn any of those into the league?
Yeah, the penalty on Kyle Fuller was a really bad call.
Yeah, the Jets' third down defense has been really good. What have you seen from them?
Yeah, they get good pass rush, and they got good corners. And that's always a good combination to have on third down.
From a coaching perspective, what's the most difficult position to replace on the defensive side of the ball due to an injury?
It all depends who's next up. You know, like, you know, you could obviously say corner is, but we had Pat to put in there. You know, so it depends on who your backup is, you know, how experienced or how good he is. But they're all difficult. They really are.
Who will relay that play call on defense, guys?
It'll be AJ still.
How's he done with that?
He did good the other, you know, he's forced into action all of a sudden the other day. You know, we had to start a series. Josie got hurt on the punt, and here we go. AJ, you got it going. We had to change his helmet. You probably noticed there was a little ruckus down there to get that done. And he did a good job. And he'll get better at it.
Yesterday, Justin said that communication has to go through the safeties, and they take a big role in that with Josie. Would there ever be any thought to give him one of the safeties?
No. The main reason being is, you know, they can be 40 yards downfield defending a long pass, and we got to get a huddle going or get a call in, and he may be too far away. So they could do it. Meaning they're capable of it, but logistically it could create problems.
Can it be a benefit for Alexander? Because I know you've talked about the mental side over the last couple of years with him, but having to add that extra level of focus keeps him more dialed in, maybe?
Maybe, but he's been dialed in. You know, it does put a little extra on his plate, you know, so, you know, he'll be fine with it. I'm confident in that.
Will be Alexander then going forward, Jim, or will you reevaluate week to week in terms of maybe giving Justin the green dot, or will it be Alexander?
It'll be AJ until, you know, we deem it to be not necessary. One of the problems with the green dot is you can only have one guy wearing it at a time, and, you know, and we play some one linebacker defenses, and for instance, if you give it to Justin and we want to keep AJ in there, then you have to signal, you know, because you can't have two guys in the game with it, which I think they should change, but they probably won't.
Connor, you had Connor McGovern your first year here. How's he playing for the Jets at center? How much do you think
good.
Quarterback?
He does help. Connor's a calm guy, experienced, you know, very knowledgeable. Which is a lot of the qualities you want in the center. And I'm sure that the quarterback is thankful to have Connor.
Draymond, on the Von Miller sack against the Jaguars, seems like he occupied a double team that allowed Von to get there. What have you seen from him, even though the sacks haven't been there yet for him in the way that he's playing?
Yeah, he's that was a game there that kind of turned into a game. And Draymond's been doing a good job. But we all think he's capable of even playing better. And I think he believes that, too. And hopefully that will happen.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. That was the head coach, Vic Fangio. Stoke, anything on the top of mind there after hearing from Vic?
You know, you hear the guys that are on the injury report. You hear the story about Salah. I don't know about that. If I went out to dinner with him, they would have been in the cafeteria because I don't like paying for dinners.
Vic,
I would have had to buy dinner for the young football coach.
Right,
Vic. Vic's cheap. That's evident there.
He's team issued sweats guy.
Yeah. But not, I mean, nothing too impactful. You know, the Kyle Fuller penalty. Which we all talked about on Monday. Didn't think that should have been called, but these refs are bad and they make bad calls every single week. And that was a bummer because led to a touchdown there, on Fuller. So, yeah, that's really anything for you?
No, about the same. About the same. Interesting to hear him say, hey, that was just a bad call, like flat out bad call. Yeah. And it was. It was.
Yep.
All right. Yet another voice is weighing in on one of the messiest divorces in the history of pro sports. Things are getting juicy.
Ooh, I'm here for it.
But is there an other element at play here? Take a dive into it coming up next.
Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Yet another voice is weighing in on one of the messiest divorces in the history of pro sports. And things are getting a little bit juicy here. Of course, we're talking about, we touched on this yesterday, the foundational cracking between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And what actually went down.
It's fascinating. You're talking about one of the, you know, to have the run that they had together and then for it just to just be over and done. And then what's transpired since, right, with Tom going on and winning the Super Bowl and still playing. And I mean, it's just, it is really fascinating to me. And I just can't figure out, you know, how Bill would let it get to that point. Because I'm just wired differently. You should have a sense of loyalty to that guy, to me, right? Like, I get it to certain guys, maybe not. But when you talk about your quarterback that you had there for 20 years that won you, what, five, six? I don't know how many won in there. Five, six?
Six.
In New England, six?
Pretty sure.
Whatever. You know, and then you're just like, bye? I don't know, man. I don't get it in that situation. But so that's why it's just fascinating, like what really happened. And Bill's Bill, and that's pretty obvious in this situation.
Well, you're right to use the word fascinating. This one has like a full 2-hour documentary written all over it, 30 for 30 or otherwise. All right. Now, we talked about this yesterday because Tom Brady's father, Tom Sr., went on a Patriots podcast this past week, which I found interesting. Tom Brady's dad is doing media. You know who else doesn't do a lot of media? It's Alex Guerrero. Just doesn't do a ton. He's Tom's trainer. He's whatever.
But when he speaks, he says something. Like, he doesn't just, like, not say anything. He doesn't evade the questions and just give your general run-of-the-mill answers. Like, he always says something when he does talk. And I remember, I don't know what it was, if it was 2 years ago, whenever, you know, his comments come out, and he says a lot.
But he doesn't say something just to say it.
No.
Like, he's not, like, flippant. So...
But the other thing that you know, sorry to interrupt, is like, that's like Tom Brady's best friend.
Right.
So he's got the goods.
He's got the goods.
You know, all the stuff when he's rubbing the temples and like, you know, getting the triceps right and the shoulders mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think they're talking about?
Right.
Right? They're not talking about, you know, what's for dinner.
Right.
We know what's for dinner. It's avocados.
That's right.
And water.
Tom Brady's personal trainer, Alex Guerrero, says Patriots coach Bill Belichick, quote, never evolved, end quote, in how he treated the star quarterback, a factor that contributed to Brady's exit in 2020 after 20 years as a New England Patriot. Quote, it was like Bill never really, I think his emotions or feelings never evolved with age, Guerrero told the Boston Herald yesterday. Quote, as Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid that he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing. He never evolved. So you can't treat someone who's in their 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. People could have made different choices, and they could have rode out into the sunset together. That could have been a pretty cool story, too. End
yeah,
quote.
Absolutely. Guerrero is spot on. Like, you can't treat Tom Brady at age 40 like everyone else. And guess what? Everyone else doesn't expect you to treat him like
right.
them.
Right.
He's a different person. Right? And so that's how you have to operate. Not everybody's treated equally. Right? It doesn't work that way.
In any walk of life.
In everything in this world, right? And especially in sports. It just doesn't work that way. And when you have certain individuals and you have a guy like Tom Brady, you have to operate and treat him a little bit differently. And especially like Guerrero said, but different than you treated him when he was 24.
Yeah.
He's 40 now.
Yeah.
Y'all have done so many great things together. Put a little bit more respect on that and realize what's going on and treat him accordingly. But it's obvious that Bill could never do that and wouldn't do that for some reason, which is kind of odd because Bill's not a dum-dum.
Right.
And, you know, like you have a philosophy, but at the same time, I think what is it, Jimmy Johnson said, you know, look, you know, if the practice squad guy falls asleep, you know, I'm going to cut him. But if it's, you know, if it's Michael Irvin, I'm going to go say, hey, Mike, you need to wake up, buddy. Something yeah. like that, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
So guys are treated differently. The stars are treated, and especially your quarterback.
Right.
You can treat everybody else different, but your quarterback's got to be treated differently, especially if that quarterback's Tom Brady.
Ultimately was the demise of that dynasty Bill Belichick's ego.
I don't know if it was his ego. See, I don't know. Or just he has a philosophy of how he's going to coach and how he is going to be the captain of that ship. Like, that's his philosophy. Everybody's treated the same. I'll call Tom out just like I'll call that rookie running back, just like I'll call that guy out. And I'll even call Tom out even more. And I'll even make him earn his stripes even more. Like, that's Bill's philosophy. And that's how he's always operated. So I don't know. I don't think it was because of ego.
Okay.
I think it's just the way that he has always, operated.
So Alex Guerrero's quotes here, according to what you just said, are spot on. He just never evolved.
Right. Yes. Exactly. I don't think Bill really, you know, I'm sure he's got an ego, but I think he's all about winning. You know, it's not like, oh, I want to get over on Tom Brady and watch him go and then, you know, let me try to win games while he struggles. I don't think that was the case at all. Now, maybe it played a little role in it, but I don't really think so. I think Bill, Jesus wants to win football games. And if he felt like he could continue to do it with Tom, he would have. But it wasn't about ego. It was more about, like, how he, as a coach, how he's wired. And then, yeah, Guerrero, right? I mean, like, but he never evolved. And as a coach, which is kind of different than how they operate as coaches, because you've seen them evolve, the Patriots evolve. They go from a running football team to a passing football team. They haven't been stuck like, this is how we're going to win football games
for
20 years.
Right.
You know, they did it a certain way for 4 years. Then the next 4 years, they changed. And they had two tight ends, and they had three wides. And then they, you know, they evolved, and they changed. But Bill, as a coach, in that certain, in how he handled players, and especially how he handled Tom, seems like it never evolved.
Going to the last break, I said, is something else at play here? Tom Brady's dad is on a podcast, and Alex Guerrero, his trainer, is talking to the Boston Herald. I find it hard to believe that in the same week that they would both be doing this without the blessing from Tom. Back-to-back days. Is this a, not like heavy-handed or anything like that, but is this in part leading up to week 4's game? Is it a bit of a PR, not campaign, but just blessing to sort of tell the truth a bit?
Right. I think so. I think that has something to do with it because his dad knows him very well, knows what went down behind the scenes. Guerrero does. And I'm sure a lot of people are reaching out to those guys to get comments because the game is coming up here next week, Patriots Bucks. So, and I think that, yeah, you know, they wouldn't be talking if it was, especially about stuff like that, if Tom didn't give them the okay. And if you're Tom Brady, you're kind of like that. Yeah, you know, I kind of want to get this out there. Of what happened,
like,
but I don't want to have to, you know, I'm not going to do that
right now.
That's not my plan. I'm worried about football.
Exactly.
But these guys can do it for
exactly.
me. And it kind of stirs the pot over there. And the Patriots fans looking at it like, really, Bill, you really screwed this thing up.
You misplayed it.
Right.
Very interesting.
No, it is. It's great, man. It's great.
I love it.
How cool would it be to go to that game?
And like I said, if you try to hand in a script that says Tom Brady's going to come back to Foxborough after winning a Super Bowl with the Bucs, and he's going to set the all-time passing record, and it's going to be in primetime, and they're going to have to stop the game, the director would take the script and say it's too unrealistic.
Right.
And I'm the director of Rudy, and I wouldn't make that film.
Right, but Rudy was all sides.
And a fraud.
But he will. That's the game. He's going to break it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. What is the latest from the tone coming out of Dove Valley? We'll check in with Mike Kliss coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.